Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And I know I say this all the time, but I'm so excited for this next guest because she's a very, very dear friend of mine. In fact, she was one of my biggest cheerleaders during my personal Lyme journey. And the reason I asked her to join me today is because, well, a few reasons. We always want to know what it's like for our friends and our loved ones, what they go through when we're going through our journey, right? Here we are, we've lost hope, we don't know what to do. And if we don't know what to do, how do our loved ones know what to do? How do they know how to support us? What do they go through as we're going through our own personal journey? So because she was one of my biggest cheerleaders, I want to hear her side of what she went through during my journey. And the other couple of things we're going to talk about is in my support groups that I do, we often talk about how going through the Lyme journey is almost like going through a grieving process, because we truly have to let go of the old us and embrace the new us. And it's almost like grieving our old self. And during our journey, we oftentimes want to numb our pain and what we're going through. And many of us will turn to alcohol and or drugs. Maybe you're on prescription medications to help you get through the day with your pain. And then it becomes kind of an addiction. So my very dear friend has sadly gone through all of that. And so we're just going to talk about it all today. So I'm super, super excited that you decided to join me, Michelle. Thank you so much for being vulnerable and willing to share with me today. And then just mostly for being my friend and being my biggest supporter. So I appreciate you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I thought, what better way to start, right? Let's kind of start back in our journey. Gosh, I don't know how long ago we go, but we got introduced by our mutual company that we worked for. And we kind of started slowly building a friendship. And so you have never really known me prior to being sick. Not much, right? It kind of started, I got bitten in 04. And I remember I lived just a couple of corners around from you, and I didn't get sick for 4 years. So maybe there was a couple of years that we knew each other prior to me actually falling ill from Lyme disease. So let's just start there. You know, what it was like for you to have a friend that went through an illness that very few people really know anything about.
Well, first of all, first thing that I remember, because so the Tanya before was vivacious and outgoing and had two jobs and was very busy with her niece and nephew and had this full life. And then all of a sudden things started falling off. And I remember the time that you told me that you really knew you were in trouble the day that you came home from work and you sat down in your recliner and you woke up the next day still in your work clothes. And that's just so out of character and unlike you. And just the struggles of hearing, you know, you go from one doctor to another doctor. And every time I felt like when you called me, it was like some, I don't know, like not a pipe dream, but some like made up thing that they thought you had. And the treatment or whatever they would say that you needed to do, and it just never would help. And so it was very... it was very frustrating to not be able to do anything for you and to watch you, you know, the life that you had slip away a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time.
Well, I guess maybe I should have brought tissues to this episode, right? Bringing me down memory lane a little bit. Yeah, it was very hard because, you know, like, you know, I didn't know at the time, but I was gaslit by so many doctors. You know, they were either happy to take my money and shove a bunch of pills down my throat, or they were also happy to not take my money and send me on my way because there was nothing they could do for me because it was all in my head. I was overworked, I was overstressed, and unless I get counseling, you're never going to be better. And so that was certainly really hard to go through at the time, especially feeling like I'm a very strong woman, right? I can conquer the world, I felt like, but yet I can't figure out what's wrong with me and I can't get anybody to believe me. So I know a lot of listeners probably have gone through this as well, where especially during the time when we're trying to get our diagnosis, right? So we're sick and one day my legs feel fine, but I can't hardly move my arms. But the next day my arms are fine and I can't move my legs. Like this disease just does whatever it wants to do in your body from hour to hour at times. And so I know a lot of listeners probably struggle with friends and family members believing that there really is something physically wrong with you versus it's all in your head, you want attention. What can you talk about on that as far as how you knew what kind of a person I was? Did you ever have thoughts that, oh, wow, maybe she really is crazy? You know, why is she doing this? Does she want attention? Where were you in that, right?
I never thought it was for attention because you always had a lot of attention, you know, just your personality.
Not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, I just mean like your personality. You had people around you because people were attracted to your personality. And so I never really thought you were crazy. But I think I just couldn't figure out why they couldn't figure it out. You know, it's like, what the hell, you know, it's modern medicine. Why can't you figure out what's going on? I think another thing that, so not knowing what was going on and, just feeling helpless too, you know, like I didn't know what to do to help you, you know? And then watching just little things slip away, you know, like you didn't have the energy to go get the niece and nephew when you always spent time with them. You would drive an hour to your brother's and sister's house and you were just exhausted and you couldn't even enjoy yourself. Just things like that. And then the medication that they would give you would do other things to you, like make you gain weight, make you sleep, make you not sleep, you know, just going through all that kind of stuff, you know. And I never not believed you, just because you're a trustworthy person, you know, you tell the truth. So that really wasn't on my radar, but just the frustration going along with you that they can't seem to figure it out.
Yeah. And that's gotta be, you know, frustrating because we get used to our friends, right? We get used to what we expect from them, and that they're dependable and reliable and always up to go out and have fun or do something and make plans. And that certainly, used to be me, right? But during my journey, I always felt like such a flake because as much as I wanted to make plans and do things. And, you know, when I say I'm going to do something, unless I'm down and out in the hospital, something, right? Something's stopping me from doing it. I'm going to show up and do it because that's the kind of person I am. I believe that commitment is very important. And I constantly was, I'm so sorry, I can't do this. I'm so sorry to cancel the last minute. 2 hours ago, I felt amazing. But now that I took a shower and got dressed, I can't do anything. And so what was that like going through, you know, somebody who was constantly, you know, canceling plans on you? And, you know, like all of this is just so, such emotional things, you know, we go through that. And then finally, I got to where I'm just not going to make plans, right? Well, if we can't make plans and have anything to look forward to in our life, what's the point of living is, you know, kind of where I was at that point. So from a, you know, an outsider looking in, how frustrating was that for you to be canceled on, right? And then just to know the reason why you were canceled on.
Yeah. Again, I believed you. So, you know, if you told me that you were too exhausted or whatever, I always made plans with you though, with a loose schedule, like you know, we're going to plan on this, but it might not happen. And then when you moved, you know, from where we lived together and you moved up to Chico to be near your family and to get some help and all that stuff, you know, when I would come up there, I would already know that, you know, in the morning when I got up that you weren't going to be up till 10 or 11 o'clock. So I would go do my own thing and come back because you had to sleep, you know, that long and stuff like that. So a lot of times we didn't have as much time to do stuff together because you had to sleep in, you know, that was one of the things. And, you know, the financial situation, I would say, is one of the biggest burdens, you know, for me at the time, it was easy for me to take you to lunch and stuff like that. That wasn't a thing, but just knowing how uncomfortable you were because you used to have money and now everything is completely depleted while you're trying to figure out what's wrong with you and you feeling weird about going out and letting me buy your lunch or we go to a gift shop or something and I'm like, I'll buy that for you. And just seeing your struggle with the financial part was also really big.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's always an important topic is the financial aspect of going through this journey, right? Like you said, I had a very blessed life. You know, finances were good. I worked really hard my whole life and worked hard for what I had. And it was nice to have that feeling, right? To be a little free with what you want to do and where you want to go and things you want to buy. And to go from that to where all of your money is now going into all of these doctors trying to figure out what's wrong with you. And then when I got to the point where I had to quit my job and literally had no income for 3 years because I couldn't get disability because technically nothing was wrong with me, right? Just that whole transition financially is really, really hard. And I, you know, tell the listeners all the time, yes, I spent $1 million over my 13-year journey out of pocket. That is ridiculous. That is one of the reasons I advocate so much in the Lyme community is because that's not okay and it's not right. But so many people also feel that they can't afford to get well, right? I don't have $1 million. I'm not a famous movie star, you know, like Justin Bieber, all the other ones that have come out with Lyme disease. I can never get better. And I'm here to tell you that that is not true. It is just not true. A lot of this can start with just our own mindset, changing our own mindset. You know, for the first 7 years when I couldn't get a diagnosis, I was never going to get well because there was nothing to get well from, right? Other than a messed up brain or it's all in your head. And so that was very defeating to me. But as soon as I got my diagnosis, I was like, okay, I can do this. I'm going to beat this. And I think changing that mindset to knowing that you're going to get well and believing wholeheartedly in your doctors and your protocol that you're on really can make a huge impact in your healing journey. So I just don't ever want anybody to feel defeated by the finances. I know it's tough. I mean, I've been there, right? You're listening to me and my girlfriend talk about my journey and it was rough. You know, I had to decide at grocery stores, okay, well, how many times do I have to drive to the doctors this month? How much money can I spend on groceries? Can I really afford the organic stuff or do I have to buy the nasty stuff because I can't afford it? Like, it was a struggle. And I know that Michelle, you helped you've helped in many ways, but you also helped in one of my fundraisers that I did. You know, my friends and family rallied together and we figured it out together. When you have a village supporting you, like there's nothing that we can't do, right?
Yeah, I think as you were talking, what I was thinking is, what about that person that's just starting their journey and they don't have a village? You know what I mean? Like, you just really, really have to turn to God and go out in faith and just take the next step. You know, maybe you don't have tons of people that can help you financially or come over and make your bed for you or whatever. You know, reach out to the community. I know there's Lyme groups now forming and stuff like that. Reach out to others and get a village if you don't have one.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, we know that a lot of people out there have a village, but not a supportive one, right? And so
Sure.
therefore, can we really call them part of our village? Because many, many relationships are ended, friendships, family, because of the struggle of believing what the person is saying, you know, because we do oftentimes sound crazy with how our symptoms can literally change moment to moment. And so I understand now looking back, right, that gosh, I really must have sounded crazy because one day was good, but then an hour later, like I'm dying on the couch. What is going on? And so we do lose that. And I know sadly many of you listeners out there feel like you're battling this alone. And like Michelle said, there are so many Facebook groups out there. There are so many organizations. We truly have an amazing community within the Lyme community. And I even started a Facebook group with one of my good friends many years ago, Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. It's just a great place to go and get support, feel validated, know that you're not alone. And so don't ever feel like you have to do this journey alone. You know, sometimes strangers can be your best friends. And that was one of the many, many blessings that came from my Lyme journey, is that the friends I met along the way, the strangers, are now some of my very dear friends. And so I'm super grateful for that. So just don't ever feel you're alone, because I promise you're not. And as Michelle said, you know, God is there. God is guiding us. And I will be honest, I definitely had a love-hate relationship with God during many of those years of my journey. And I think it's kind of human nature, right? But I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would be here.
Another thing that happened was when you first told me you had Lyme. I mean, I don't know if it just wasn't really like something that people get, like that they talk about, that is a big deal. I mean, if anything, your dog gets it. You know, like I'd never really been around a
Yeah.
human that had it. And I remember I was in Arizona on vacation one day, and I was on a hike with a group of people, and I started chit-chatting with this lady, and she had Lyme disease. And it was like, once, you know, it's like, I don't know, it kind of takes the not knowing what it is or not believing what it is away when you start to meet people that have it, you know. It was kind of, and she went through some of the same things you went through, and we got to have a good conversation, you know, about it. So
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, say you buy a new car, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that has this car in town, right? Next thing you know, every time you turn the corner, there's your exact same car. You know, once it kind of gets out there, I think that you kind of perk up more to it, right? And I was like you. And, you know, again, one of the many reasons why I do what I do in the Lyme community is because I was uneducated. I thought Lyme disease was what dogs got, because I remember growing up, my parents would say we have to treat for ticks and fleas and Lyme. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know? And so when they said I had Lyme disease, I thought, gosh, this has got to be really bizarre. I bet I'm the only person in the world that as a human has Lyme disease, right? Like I didn't know what I didn't know. And I was even one of the fortunate ones who got a bullseye rash when I got bit in 2004. And had I just been educated on what that meant, I could have saved so many years of struggling. But again, I believe that my journey took me where it was supposed to take me. And so I don't have regrets of it. You know, sometimes I joke and say, well, I wish God didn't make my struggles quite as rough as they were. But nonetheless, so many blessings came from my Lyme journey for sure. So let's talk about, you know, when I mentioned when we first started the show, I talk a lot about how grief kind of ties into what we go through during this Lyme journey. So many things do, right? And a lot of us, we don't know how to handle grief, you know, not as the person who is grieving the loss of a loved one, but also, somebody like you, let's flip the roles, Michelle, me trying to support you as a friend who is grieving. I don't know what to say. Do you say things will get better? No. And so sometimes we don't say anything, right? And I think that that's a lot of the reasons why relationships can fall apart during tough times. It's not because we don't want to be there to support our loved ones, but we don't know how. Right. And obviously, people that pass on in this world is much, much more common than people that suffer with Lyme disease, right? And so I know that, you know, we all kind of usually show our support for like the first week or two, and the person who's grieving is kind of like, oh my gosh, I have all this amazing support. And then life goes on, right? All of our
Right.
other lives continue, but the one suffering is still suffering. And now they're suffering alone, right? Because we took the week or two out of our schedule to surround you with love and support and everything that you need. And now, probably when you need it the most, when kind of the numbness has worn off and you're in reality and oh my gosh, what just happened? Now you feel like you're fighting it alone. So I think there's so many things of grief that go along with our Lyme journey. So I think that that's one of the reasons I really wanted you to kind of share your grief journey with the listeners, because I think it could really make an impact. So not
Okay.
only did you lose one, but you lost two kind of back to back and both very suddenly. So however you want to share that story.
Okay. Well, this isn't directly related to Lyme, but it's definitely related to grief. And over the years, I've learned how grief takes many forms. Like you said, like you can be grieving who you used to be, the life you used to have, the energy you used to have, you know. For me, yes, my dad was killed instantly in a car accident, and 3 weeks later, my 47-year-old husband got a heart virus and died. And I was 42 years old, and being a widow was not what I had in mind for my life. I would say the first thing that really happens, well, first of all, you're in shock. I'm not sure. Actually, I would think that would probably happen when you get your Lyme diagnosis too. You know, you're probably in shock in the beginning. So you're kind of numb to everything. And then little by little, you have to grieve all these parts of your life that you're missing. And for me, my head went crazy. Like I felt like I was crazy because the thoughts and the turmoil, and it was, I just felt like I was going crazy. So if you feel like you're going crazy, you're probably not. It's just that the brain is fighting so hard to process all the emotions that you're going through, because you're going through so many emotions at once. And for me, talking to others about it, you know, having a support system like we've talked about, those are probably the biggest things, is not to just lock it inside of you. I know that grieving, like Tani had to grieve her job when she lost it, because she'd been there 17 years and she loved her job. And it's just all these different things that we have to think about. Now, I went to grief groups. I'm sure that they have something like that out there. The grief groups really help, because it gives you, for me, it gave me an hour out of my week where I wasn't working, I wasn't taking care of the kids. I just got to work on my grief, and that was very, very helpful to me.
Yes, they are. And, you know, just like you said, they have grief groups. They truly, I think, have a group for anything and everything, right? Almost kind of like they have a day for everything. Left-handers day, dog day, and, you know, all the days. So there's something out there. If you are whatever it is that you're struggling with, if you are looking for support and you need help to find that safe space for you, please always feel like you can reach out to me and ask me. I'm more than happy to help in any way that I possibly can. So one of the things I think can definitely tie into to Lyme with your journey is I know a lot of us, we get asked on a daily basis, how are you feeling today? And many of us will stop and think, okay, do they want the truth? Should I lie? Should I tell the partial story? Like, what should I tell? Because if I continuously tell them, I'm miserable, I'm in pain, I have no money, this, that, everything, they're not ever going to want to ask me this anymore, right? They're going to get tired of hearing my sob story. So, how did you feel when people would ask, how are you feeling? Did you want to smack them? Like, what do you mean? How do you think I'm feeling? You know, because that, again, it goes back to we don't know how to sometimes support our loved ones with whatever they're going through, whether it's Lyme disease or the loss of a father, you know, a husband, whatever it is, we just don't know. We need a lot of help in this department.
For me, when they would ask me how I was feeling, I'd usually just look at them. I really didn't have an answer for that. Still, you know, I'd just be like, still, you know, I'm still here, you know, at times. It didn't really bother me if people asked me how I felt. I think the most important thing is that we're believed. Like if someone's suffering from Lyme, because it's not something that we would necessarily associate with grief, then the person that's listening needs to believe them. You know, like I'm grieving, for example, I had to give up my job. I'm grieving the financial independence that I used to have, you know, and I think being able to attach it to grief might explain things to your loved ones better. If you say, you know, I'm really grieving who I used to be, I'm missing my old life, it kind of puts it into words that they can understand. And I think sometimes that's important. I used to say that I'd write a book about the stupid things people say when someone dies, because none of that stuff helps. You know, he's in a better place. No, he's not, you know, you'll get through this, yes. You know, just, you know, all the things that people think they need to say. And I think like what Tanya said, it's just a matter of listening is actually the best.
Yeah. And, you know, all those things that they say to us, they mean it truly out of the goodness of their heart. Again, they just don't know how to support people that are going through, you know, something rough, whatever it may be. But yes, definitely, you know, going through my journey, you know, not only did I grieve not being the person that I was and knowing that I probably never would be because I didn't know if I'd ever get well, right? Didn't know if I'd ever find out what was wrong with me and I would ever save my life. And I'm here to tell you I did. I'm 1,000,000%. I feel amazing. And I'm so blessed that I made it on the other side. But I learned so many, you know, just valuable lessons through this journey as well. And so, you know, we go through the grieving of us. We go through the grieving of losing our job. We go through the grieving of, in my case, losing my retirement I worked so hard for, right? Like I cashed out my retirement and it all went towards Lyme disease. You grieve so many different steps and so many different things during your Lyme journey that things just really can feel like they're just compounding and just tumbling down on you, you know? And it's a challenge. It's hard. It's certainly not an easy journey. And, you know, obviously if you're listening to this, you know, I have this podcast and I've had many people share their journeys with me about how they turn to alcohol and drugs. Just to numb the pain, right? And sometimes we never get out of that. And I know that Michelle is very open, you know, about her kind of life journey dealing with addiction. And so I thought it would just be kind of great to hear it from somebody in a different life, in a different world, you know, somebody that wasn't messed up in the head from Lyme disease, right? We didn't have brain fog. We didn't have anything. They just were suffering something internally that made them, you know, source out and choose something to block their feelings or comfort them at the time. So I appreciate you as always, Michelle. I know that you're like me when it comes to this. We're an open book about it, right? We want to help others that are battling what we personally went through. And you know, counselors and doctors, they're all, you know, well, most of them are fantastic. But they don't always really understand the emotional side of it because they've never truly been down that road like we have. And we have, and that's why it's such an amazing feeling to be able to give back to our communities and share what we went through, right? And just tips and things that we would have done differently, or maybe we would have thought this way, or you know, it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. Doesn't mean it's going to work for you. It's not going to work for you. It's just sharing ideas, right? It's all about kind of networking and collaborating and just sharing personal details of our life. And so I'd love for you to kind of talk about how you struggled with that in your life. Like, when did it start? Why did it start? How did you feel? Just all the stuff, right?
Okay. So, I basically started drinking to fit in with everybody. In junior high, I felt, like a, you know, a round peg in a square hole, or however they say that, you know, I never felt like I fit in. And so I started drinking with friends because then I fit in, and it quickly turned to other substances in high school. And yeah, it just caught me. And I think the biggest thing of addiction, and especially if you're taking prescription drugs, is that, well, I'm taking something the doctor gave me, so I can't be addicted, you know? And so for me, it went downhill pretty fast, but it stayed downhill for a very long time. I probably started using and drinking, like I said, in middle school, and I didn't get sober till I was 29. And during that time, many, many things happened. I got in trouble with the law a lot. I no longer showed up for my friends. I never showed up at family events. If I did, I was trying to figure out a way to either steal from their purse or get them to give me money. It got pretty dark pretty fast. But the thing is that once I finally got past the denial, and I think the reason that I keep bringing that up is because I can imagine someone that's, you know, taking something from a doctor that thinks that it's okay to take and stuff like that. You know, where is that line to where you're addicted and when you're not? And then when you realize you can't live without it, how you increase the amount, and pretty soon it gets out of control. And, you know, it probably does make you feel better in the beginning, you know, I would imagine, especially if there's painkillers involved and stuff like that. It's just there's a fine line, and the denial is the biggest thing, because we can convince ourselves that we're okay, we're doing what we're supposed to, we're not doing anything wrong, when in fact, you know, we're hurting ourselves.
Yeah, and denial is a huge thing, right? That I think that there's a phrase somewhere out there that says, you know, until you accept it, right? Like, be just accepting it and acknowledging it is like the first big step in so many things that we can talk about. And denial is hard, because we think, you know, I know in my journey, I was like, I don't really want to have Lyme disease attached to me, because then that means that I'm giving my power to it, right? I'm going to allow it to just run rampant in my body and do what it wants and destroy everything I ever loved. And so I think, you know, like you said, there's kind of this fine line about what is acceptable, what is not. And I think that when we're going through, you know, whatever journey we're going through, we really just have to accept it and embrace it, so to say, right? So we've admitted that we've got Lyme disease. We've admitted I have a drinking problem. We've admitted I have a drug problem, whether it be, you know, the prescription drugs that the doctor gave us that we thought were going to be safe for us. Accepting it and acknowledging it, right? That does not mean you're allowing it and opening your body for it to take you over. It's just mean you're accepting what you're dealing with at the time, right? And I think acceptance can be such a pivotal moment during any type of a journey, because that means we've acknowledged it. We understand, we know what we're facing. And now let's put on our big girl pants and go fight, right? I just think that could be a real big pivotal moment in our journey.
And one thing I think about when you were talking is surrender. You know, once you surrender, then you can actually do something. But as long as you're fighting it and trying to convince yourself that you're different, that it's not happening to you, you can't surrender. And until you surrender, you're never going to get better.
Right. And surrender is a good word, because I think that people can look at it that in a couple of different ways, right? Like, we're surrendering to it, meaning we're giving in, we're giving up. And it has just the total opposite meaning of it as well. So I'm glad that you brought that word up. You know, and I know that for any listeners out there, you know, there's just so much alcohol abuse and drug abuse in this world, that probably you have a loved one or a friend that has, you know, struggled with this themselves. And so you're kind of the outsider looking in. So Michelle, can you kind of tell us about your rock bottom? Like, What did that look like for you? What did it make you realize? Is that when you finally surrendered to it?
So for me, like I said, I was in a lot of trouble with the law, and I was to the point where probation was going to send me to prison for 2 years because I kept violating probation. And I just feel like God decided, you know what, I'm going to kiss you on the forehead today, because things came out of my mouth that I hadn't been thinking about. I had an abusive boyfriend at the time, and I was able to tell him no for the first time in 5.5 years. And I knew where to go to get help because of my trouble with the law. They had sent me to programs and stuff like that before. And so my rock bottom, really, I was living at my mom's. You know, I was 28 and a half years old, and I was living at home again. I didn't have a job. I was unemployable. And I was breaking laws every day, if I'm honest, you know, to get what I needed. And I just, that day just wasn't that awful, but saying no to him kind of like broke some kind of barrier I had up in my brain. And the next day I woke up, and I was ready to do what I needed to do. I had no idea that I'd be sitting here 27 years later and still sober. It's just been a heck of a journey. And yeah, if anybody out there is suffering, feel free to get my number from Tanya. I mean, there's a better life, there's a better way. There's people that have been there. You're not the worst. You're not the worst.
Yeah, it's, and a lot of times we kind of learn through these addiction journeys that you can't help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves, right? And I really have related that to Lyme disease. I feel like there's so many people in the community that truly, I don't know if it's they really believe they can't get well, or maybe they thought their life was so miserable before that this isn't so bad, right? I don't know. And my heart breaks, for those people. But like you said, you broke that cycle with your boyfriend, right? Like you said, no. Like, where did that even come from? That's never been a vocabulary or a word in my vocabulary, during your addiction. If somebody says, hey, you want to go drink, you want to get high, you're like, sure. It's never no. And so, yeah, I'm sure that that was a pivotal moment for sure to be able to stand up to him and just say no, just a simple word, right? And I know that many of us during this journey, we struggle with that word because we say it a lot, right? Do you want to go do this? Come over and do this. You want to go to the movies? And it's always no. Either we don't have the bandwidth to, we're in too much pain, we can't afford to, we can't drive anymore, whatever the reason is, right? It's just like no is always coming out of our mouth. At least it was for me, right? And so many of our journeys are very, very different, but a lot of the base things are the same in most people's Lyme journey. So I'm glad that you broke that cycle. And I know exactly what you're saying when God said, like he just kissed you on the forehead that day, right? And you didn't probably didn't ask for it, I'm assuming. But things happen, and I th that was kind of what happened to me towards, the end of my journey when I was just, I had kind of the brain function back and just under, kind of sitting back and just going through my journey that I've been through and why is it so difficult and how could I not get help and how can some people just not believe me and like just what is wrong with this? There's just nothing that is okay with this journey. And I know that a lot of times in life we come to a crossroad, right? And it's like, okay, do we go this way or do we go this way? And sometimes they're both a little unknown and we don't know. And I truly don't feel that, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago that I was at a crossroad, but more so God led me down a path, right? There was no choice, there was no option. He just led me down the path to Lyme disease is going to be in your wheelhouse for the rest of your life, and not in a negative way, right? Like it's going to be because I need you in this community because we need so much hope and inspiration. And many of us don't know how to find that or how to ask for help. And so that is why I'm here all these years later doing what I do, you know, because it fills my heart and soul to know that if I can impact one person in a positive way during their journey, it makes my 13 years of suffering just so much more worth it. You know what I mean? I got to learn things to be able to help somebody else. And that is what this podcast is.
I have a comment on that, on the learning thing. I was going to say, you guys have a wealth of information in Tanya, because she was like a dog on a bone, and she investigated the hell out of everything that anybody ever suggested might help her, and she has found the things that actually do help. So, she's going to be a good resource for someone to ask, because I just remember all the weird stuff that she went through. She had to buy this detox bath, and she'd be sitting here doing her feet while she's talking to me on the phone. And then she went to some clinic where she was in sessions all day long, where they were doing all these different things to her. And she has tried them all. So, if you're wondering if something might work, that's a good resource for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Yes, I did. I that it was to my point when it was about 6.5 years in my journey and I moved back home. I kind of gave up everything, closed my business, quit my job, like just left and went back home. And that was when I ended up being bedridden with a caregiver. And, just shortly before that, my final breaking straw was not knowing my name when I was at my job in the courthouse and the judge asked me. And I thought, I can't do this. And so it was then that I really started thinking outside the box. I was getting curious about why these doctors can't figure out what's wrong with me, why they can't help me, why they're dismissing me, why they're gaslighting me, right? And that was when my eyes got open to this whole world of holistic health, right? No pharmaceuticals, no drugs. And I had no idea what it was. And like you said, Michelle, it was really, really weird. When I first decided which route I was going to go for my Lyme treatment, I met with a well-known Lyme literate doctor who was not far from my home. Insurance would pay a lot of it. And he was going to do mostly antibiotics. And then I consulted with a holistic doctor out of state. I'd have to temporarily move. Insurance didn't cover anything, and it cost a fortune to walk through the front door, right? And I thought, I can't afford that. Well, guess what? That was the route I went. Not because it was easy, but because I truly felt my body was so depleted and so shut down. I thought antibiotics would have killed me. And we'll never know, right? Because I never took a single one during my journey. But it was trusting God. Trusting my heart, my gut, with what protocol was going to be the winning ticket for me. And although it was strange, although it was weird, I went all in and I did all the crazy things, right? That I thought were crazy. And it just is, it's something that I think when we're battling this Lyme journey, especially for a long time, or we're confused and we're overwhelmed, I beg you to think outside your box, right? Get curious about what is out there that can help you because there are so many simple things that we can do at home that may be free, that could be very, very affordable, that could really move the needle in our journey. But unless you're open enough to be curious, you'll never know. It may never work for you. So I appreciate you sharing that because yeah, it was some weird things. I remember even one time when I had to move to another state after, the fire I went through in California. And here I am. I got to search for another Lyme doctor locally, or do I want to go back? My house just got uprooted. Do I want to go back to my original doctor in another state? Just my life was too crazy. And I went to this doctor and he introduced me to another form of muscle testing which I was familiar with that type of testing just in a different way, and didn't say a lot, and you know, sent me down the road with hundreds of dollars of supplements. And I called my mom on in the car on my way home. I'm like, well, mom, I guess I'm going to be going back to my original doctor because I don't know who this guy was, but I'm pretty sure I just got taken. She goes, well, then why did you buy all this stuff? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. And sure enough, I took all those pills he gave me and I started getting better, right? So pick a protocol that's going to work for you and believe in it wholeheartedly, because we are our mind's thoughts. We are our words that we speak. And so if you don't trust your journey and the journey that you're on, you're battling against yourself. So be curious and have faith in what you're doing. And most importantly, have faith in knowing that you can get better and you will get better. There's too many of us Lyme survivors out there that have shared their story on my podcast and many other podcasts out there that it is possible. It is possible to get your life back.
I have one more thing.
Yeah.
So yes. when she says gets her life back, I tell this to people. So Tanya and I took her to Hawaii. I don't remember what year, but we went. And
I do. It was 2018, shortly before the fire.
Okay. Well, anyway, she would, like, if we had an active day or whatever, she would basically need to take another day to kind of recoup from the day so we could do something else the next day. So what year did we go to Mexico?
22.
Okay. So 4 years later, we go to Mexico for a week, and I'm an early riser, and Tanya was up with me every morning. She was had energy all day long. She wasn't trying to take naps, go to sleep. She stayed up late. It was like I had my friend back again, you know, just in those 4 short years. So you can get your life back.
Yes. And I am definitely living proof, right? That was, it really is amazing, because we get so defeated during the journey and we feel like, okay, you know, we'll get our life back. And I thought I had it back at one point, right? And I thought this is the best it's going to be happy with it. And I was, I knew my name. I could, you know, clean house room by room, you know, one week do this room, the next week do this room. I could go grocery shopping, although sometimes I was still in that little electric scooter because I had so much pain that I couldn't physically walk through a grocery store. But it was okay because I thought I'm so much better than I was. And I never gave up. I never gave up searching for answers and being curious about different things that are out there in this world, different technologies and modalities and all sorts of things. And so it's because of that, that I truly got my life back. Just don't ever give up. Don't settle for what you think might be your best, because if you're not 100%, I promise you, you're not at your best. So one last thing I just want to say is that during my friendship with Michelle, she has always been in recovery, right? So when we met, I was well for a few years, but most of our friendship, I was sick. And she was in recovery. And I used to always ask her about, why do you constantly share your story with people? And why do you constantly, you know, spread the word that, hey, if you have somebody struggling, reach out to me. I'm happy to help you, you know, navigate this journey and give you tools along the way to overcome this addiction. And I always just thought it was kind of strange. You know, why would you want to relive those worst years of your life, right? And now, well, several years ago, I discovered, I know exactly why she does it, because it is not a fun journey. Whatever the challenges we're given, whether it's our health, our addiction, whatever it may be, it's very challenging and it can feel very isolating and very alone, right? And when we make it to the end of our journey, we just think about all the things that we went through that we would never want anybody to go through, but they do, right? So if I can be a beacon of light to anybody that's battling this, that is what I'm going to do. And so for many years, Michelle, I never understood that. I'm sure I'd asked you along the way a few times, and it still really didn't make sense to me until I was smacked in the face with my own challenges, right? And so that's where I am. You're in that addiction world, and I'm in that Lyme world. And all we're trying to do is give you some tips, right? Support, acknowledge what you're going through is real. But mostly just hope and inspiration. And I thank you so much, Michelle, for what you do in your community, for being my dear friend and supporting me for all of those years when I don't know if I could have supported myself because I really did sound crazy. And I'm just crazy in general in a positive way, right? But I mean, I truly was crazy. And I just appreciate you. I appreciate what you do, and thankful that you're giving back to the community like I am, because it really needs people like you. So thank you. Thank you.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just gonna go to help to pay towards the studio cost.